Welcome to the Body Forward Podcast. I'm Kenzie Burke, your host, and it is here I call upon you to be moved, elevated, transformed, and ultimately propelled forward. Today I talk with Cassie Cook, who is a luxury real estate agent and interior designer. I've noticed Cassie on Instagram. She would message me sometimes. Whenever I'd click her profile, I always really liked her style. And then she messaged me right when I moved to Austin and my moving truck was coming in a week. And I wasn't sure how to set up the space. And then the downstairs was it's basically all one open room. And there's different sections of life. There's the living section, the dining section, which is also my work section, and then the kitchen. And so I just wasn't quite sure on how to navigate the layout. Cassie and I started talking, and then she ended up helping me with a layout so that I could put everything up when the movers got here. And she did such a fantastic job, and I really enjoyed talking with her and working with her. And I felt really attracted to her style. Her and I have a very similar style, and she had known all my furniture pieces. She knew the names of them, I think, from over the years, and some of them I sent her. I sold my dining table and chairs from my last space and got a smaller set for this space, a little bit more of a comfier set for the chairs. And anyways, I was able to send her the things she didn't already know off the top of her head, which she knew most of it. I really thoroughly enjoyed the process, and I've never worked with anyone on setting a space up. I think if I hadn't worked with her, I probably would have put the couch somewhere different. And I will say that I am sitting on my couch so much more than I ever have before. Yeah, I think that just speaks volumes to the importance of setting your space up in a way that has proper open energy and feng shui, because it really does make you want to sit down more, or it can make a space feel more comfortable and cozy and inviting. Spaces are so important to me. Home, car, hotel, tent, anything. I am so sensitive to the space that I'm in. Even when I was a kid, I felt so sensitive to the space I was in. Even when I would stay at hotels or we would go camping when I was a kid a lot, I used to have to make my sleeping space just right, and the bed had to face the door, or I'd have to bring my own pillow to a hotel. And I just have always felt very sensitive to the space that I'm in and around. I think that, you know, having a home that you feel good in and comfortable in is so important for your nervous system and your clarity, and having things set up in a way that's functional and not having a lot of stuff. I'm really big on not accumulating a lot of stuff. I don't think it's necessary. And I think having a clean, clear space makes you feel so much more productive. It's just a lighter way of living. So I'm just a big proponent of a healthy space. And you will hear us speak on that in this episode. You will also hear Cassie's story. You'll hear some good tips about simplicity, how to set up your space for the best energy. You'll hear us riff on human design and astrology, because I love to go there, even if we're talking about home and design. This is a great episode if you are wanting some inspiration to declutter, or wanting to feel a little bit more connected to the space you live in and how you set it up. I mean, obviously we connected on Instagram.
I know. How crazy. I feel like I've been following you forever and ever. I don't even
remember.
How
did you find me?
You know, I don't know. I was reflecting on that, and I think it had something to do with us living in a similar area. I think I stumbled across your things and was just so intrigued. I love your branding and your content, and I don't know when it was, but it was probably 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that makes sense, because I was out in Calabasas.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was living over in Westlake.
Yeah. That makes so much sense.
I know.
Yeah, and I've always hit all the spots that I could find out there.
I know, like the one little Erewhon on like the most random road, and like, you know, the Sprouts in Westlake. What else is there really to do?
I know. It's so interesting because when I moved there from Wisconsin, it was so amazing to me. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm living in such a walkable place in Austin, I was like, why was I living in the suburbs?
I know. It's a weird thing. I think the one thing I miss about that is living over in that area is you take the Canyon Road straight down to Malibu, and that's just like the best part about it. But I recently moved to the Palisades, actually. So I feel like you. I'm like, I never want to live somewhere I can't walk to dinner or walk to get groceries. It's just like such a better way of living, not having to get in the car to do everything.
Yeah, you realize how much more of your life you have and how much more time. And I just find myself out more.
Totally.
Which I love.
Totally. We need to spend more time outside. I saw some statistic recently that was like, we're supposed to spend 80% of our lives outside, but nowadays we spend like 2%. I'm like, that is not good at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so important. So let's take it back. I want to hear a bit about your story, your evolution, how you're very talented.
Thank you.
Listening.
Thank you.
You have great style. You know, I mean, I'm very particular about mm-hmm. things like clothing, furniture, home, very particular.
Yes.
And you definitely have a vibe I'm very drawn to. So
that means so much coming from you, because that's how I felt the second that I saw your content. But yeah, no, it's an interesting thing. I think one of the first things we said to each other was like, you can't teach taste.
Yeah.
And that's something I've really learned in my career. But I guess taking it back a little bit. So I'm from right outside of Washington, D.C. I grew up in Gaithersburg, Maryland. It's on the East Coast. Some people in California are like, is that the Midwest? And I'm like, no, it's the East Coast. but so I grew up in Maryland. My parents have been in the real estate design space my whole life. My dad was a developer and my mom's a real estate agent. So I've always been just involved in houses and just, you know, seeing so many different like walks of life and the way people live. And it was just always so intriguing to me. And my dad was always enhancing our space and just, we never sat still. We always were improving and innovating. And I think I've just took that with me in my adult life, but now I'm getting off topic. But long story short, moved to California about 5 years ago. I was just so drawn to being in a new space, and I was so intrigued by like the landscape and being in a new atmosphere. It feels almost like you're in another country when you've lived somewhere your whole life, you know? But so now I'm here and I've kind of taken, you know, what I've learned from my childhood, and I'm working in interior design and real estate myself. So that's a little bit about me, like in a nutshell, but I guess more the real authentic me as well. I'm very into painting, drawing, cooking, you know, being in nature, hiking, all of that. So that kind of encompasses a little of what I do.
When you were raised, was your environment, did it really support you being a creative?
No, it definitely did not. Well, I think my environment, my close sphere definitely did, just because of my parents and what they did. But I think the town I grew up in, not so much. You know, people take more of like the corporate route, which is okay, but more of the corporate route and, you know, go to a four-year college, you do all of that. It's a little less entrepreneurial and creative. But I think it just, I knew I wasn't going to do that, you know? So I thought, why not go to a place where I can start fresh and just do what I want to do? And it's kind of led me to here. Yeah.
Did you come to California by yourself?
No, I did not. It's actually a crazy story. Basically, I met my boyfriend in high school, and we've been together almost 8 years now. He's like my best friend, my partner in life. And he's English, and his parents relocated to Maryland for their job. So we met in high school, and then when we were together, they relocated to California. Him and I both stayed on the East Coast. We're doing school, and we just would always visit California together, and we just fell in love. And we were kind of on that trajectory or that path I was telling you, that more standard four-year degree, get a job out of college. And we just knew it wasn't for us. And so we took the leap and decided to follow them out here. And we kind of landed in Westlake Village with them for a little bit. And then we're like, this is our home. And so we branched out to Hollywood and Beverly Hills and now the Palisades and did that whole thing. So we've been here together this whole time.
Wow. Yeah. How was that transitioning, moving to a new place, especially with a partner? I feel like just moving to a new place is such a process. But yeah. I think with a partner, it's either – I see people having both ways where together couples build their life together and it's so amazing and so powerful. And then I also see it where one person starts thriving more than the other and it's a little mm-hmm. hard.
Mm-hmm. I think I have a really unique situation because – you know, I always encourage people, I'm like, do the move, just do it. And I'm like, you know what? I forget that I've had him this whole time. I think it was really beneficial. Like I was never going through a hard time alone. And the whole meeting friends aspect and all of that, of course, it's important to me, but wasn't on the forefront of my mind because I had someone. So I think, you know, I'm lucky in that situation. It was definitely really beneficial. I wouldn't trade it for the world to do it alongside him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not easy moving alone. I know. How was breaking into the industry in LA? So, okay. So you do real estate, you do interior design. What's your North Star? Like what's your ultimate?
Okay. Okay. So breaking into the industry and North Star. I like this. Yeah. I think the breaking into the industry part is hard because I kind of, not hard, but I just knew that this is what I was going to do. I wasn't going to give up until I was able to do it. And I think it roots back to my parents too. I just feel like we're such a product of our upbringing. They were just such hard workers and just didn't stop until they got what they wanted. And so I came to LA. I finished college at FITM in downtown LA, the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising. I studied architectural interior design there and it just kind of catapulted. I was working all through college. I had two jobs. I was a waitress part-time. And then I was also working at an architectural firm. So I was doing that. And then that kind of led me into further things. I began my career with Restoration Hardware, which was a huge, huge learning lesson for me. I idolized the brand so much, which we can totally get into. But that was a really great opportunity for me because I really got to meet the kind of people that are in LA. And, you know, build my own kind of client and database through the company. You don't realize when you're in this place, it's really a city because everything is so low profile, but there's so many different types of people here. And in the design space, you know, it's so intimate. You know, we could have just met each other, but like, I know what size bed you have. It sounds so funny, but you really like get to know people. And so coming from somewhere like Maryland and then meeting people and doing such an intimate career and job with them was so eye-opening. And I feel like I've learned so much. But so that was kind of tapping into the industry. And then after that, real estate's been my newer adventure that I kind of always knew that I would, you know, get into. And it's been – it feels just like – I mean, interior design and real estate together, obviously, it's very hand in hand. And most clients I'm doing both for, but it just feels like I'm doing what I love. I get paid to do what I love. And tapping into the real estate industry here has been more unique. Everybody's a realtor. Everybody's like, oh, I'm in real estate.
I know. My grandma, every time I visit her, she's like, you know, you should just, when I lived in California, you should just get your real estate license in your life.
Really?
You real estate. Yeah. Because she did, she did later in her life, like in her upper 70s, early 80s. I was like, you can't just go to – I would have to just really want to be a realtor mm-hmm. to make it in California because everybody's a realtor.
Yes. It's so funny. Everyone I meet, I'm like, oh, so nice to meet you. They're like, oh, I'm getting into real estate. And I can't help but show my enthusiasm and support because truly what industry can you – make that kind of money, you know, off of one thing. But I think to be successful in it, you really have to eat, sleep, and breathe it. Like, and with design too, it's just kind of who I am. Like anywhere I go, anyone I talk to, like I'm talking about houses, I'm showing houses, I'm going in houses, I'm experiencing design elements. Like I'm just, you have to eat, sleep, and breathe it to have success. And, you know, some people, it falls through. But if it's what you love, I think it's an amazing, amazing avenue.
I totally hear you, especially in LA. And I can imagine that having that design aspect really helped and starting in Restoration Hardware really helped. What? Okay. So when you said we could go into the restoration hardware thing.
Yeah.
The only reason why I ask is because when I moved to LA, I was like, I want to be in fashion, you know? And so I got a job at this clothing company that I really idolized at the time, but I was just working, you know, on the floor at their Venice shop. And then I got an internship with a stylist that I really, really idolized. And it was just so interesting because you idolize something and you think it's this, and then you're in it and you're like, oh,
that's funny.
I don't know if I want to do this, or at least being at this level. So what was your experience?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I fell in love with the brand initially, just like a little backstory. My parents went through a really nasty divorce, to be honest with you. It was like a very toxic thing for a 10-year-old to go through. And my dad, being someone who built houses, was like, I'm going to make this sanctuary where she can grow up and feel safe and come home and relax. And he wanted that for me. And it was so pivotal in my life. And I'll never forget, after he finished building the house, it was like every weekend was a trip to RH. We were always like, you know, sitting on all the sofas and touching all the fabric and textiles. And he basically furnished the home with all RH product. And this sounds so silly, but back in like, what, 2010, like RH was the only place that had like a really deep sofa. And so I just like, as a kid, felt so comfortable in this like deep sofa that I just was like, what is this company? I was so intrigued and just fell in love with the brand and the CEO, Gary Friedman. I just started, you know, diving into who he is as a person. He's a real innovator and creative guy. So when I came to LA, I found out that the gallery on Melrose, they actually have like a design team and more of like a design firm within the retail part of the business. Which was really exciting. And so I decided to interview and I got the job. I started a little lower down in the company and moved my way up to work with the design team. And it was great. I mean, I definitely had feelings like what you're saying, you know, once you're in it, you want to do something else. And I have nothing negative to say, but I just think I outgrew it. I was ready I'm kind of in this mindset, like, I don't know if this sounds negative, but I don't want to spend my days making somebody else money. I want to make myself money. And I saw the value that I was adding to the company, you know, in that small scale, just out of LA, of course, not the huge world of RH, but it gave me the confidence to be like, I can do this on my own, which was amazing. Yeah.
That was the same experience. It's not that any of those things were bad. It's just when you get in, you realize how hard you have to work, and you're working for someone else under someone else's vision, and you're not able to really express yourself.
Yeah. I think someone else's vision is a perfect way to put it, because I mean, I don't blame it. I can imagine being a CEO and, you know, you build an empire and you want to have people working for you that align with that same vision. But, you know, we're humans and we outgrow things. And I've taken so much from what I learned there. I think the values of the company are incredible. They actually do something. I hope I can say this. It's kind of internal, but they do something every morning called a values meeting or a values alignment. And basically the whole gallery spends time together and, you know, a leader will, you know, put a video on the screen that's inspiring for the day and everybody has a conversation about it. And then I think one of the most important things that they do is they give you time to like thank somebody in the gallery that's helped you throughout the week. So for example, I could say, oh, Kenzie, I just wanted to recognize you and thank you for you know, supporting me with cleaning up all my swatches while I was running into my next presentation. And it sounds so silly, but it creates a really positive atmosphere. And I just took so much from that. And I'm excited, you know, to implement that in my personal life as I move forward in my career. I just think we need more of that, more niceness and more, you know, recognition and positivity. So that was something that really impressed me as well.
Yeah. And connecting with the people you're around all the time. It's so important. Mm-hmm. I love that they did that. I love Restoration Hardware. And now I really want to get
into
I really want to get into the home stuff and kind of like the deeper meaning of having a really clear space. And I just resonated with your story a little bit about how Restoration Hardware became sentimental for you, because when I made my first big wad of money for the first time ever, the first thing I did, which, and I've been on a freaking journey and like I am just now really starting to be healthy with my money, but
can I guess what it was that you did?
What did I do?
Did you buy a cloud couch?
No, here's the thing. It's, and the reason why I really want to talk to you about this is because I do think it's so important to have a healthy home. And I just have not felt and did not feel safe in a home space really ever, and like in a really long time. So when I made my first wad of money, the first thing I did was went and got myself an apartment. And, you know, I had had a lot of roommate situations in my first few years of being in LA, and it was a lot of renting a room. And it was so hard for me because there was always so much energy around me and different people's energy, and I could only have, you know, my comforts within a room. And it just really affected my nervous system. It affected my sleep. Like I never felt safe. And so when I came into some, or I made my first big chunk of money, I went, got a place, and I furnished the entire thing Restoration Hardware. Still to this day, I will walk past my coffee table. I'm like, I'm so glad I did that, because it was very reckless to do that at the time, you know, and just not thinking, you know, as a business, like that was not the right business move. It's like, make money and then buy everything Restoration Hardware and don't think about what happens after that.
Yeah.
However, I will say that that was 5 years ago. I still have every single piece, and it has been with me through multiple moves, and I haven't outgrown it.
And it's timeless.
It's timeless. And I'm so grateful for that. And it really changed when I created my home for the first time. And every time, even after I move and I set up my home with my stuff, I really feel like it's such a pillar in your health and well-being to have. And I'm not saying everyone has to go furnish their home Restoration Hardware. I'm just saying that it's such a pillar in health and well-being to have a space that's set up well and energetically well, and that you can do this with any kind of budget, but just that feels nice and clean and clear. And like I said, the furniture that I have comes with me everywhere, but nothing really else. And I really love how just minimal my space is, but I have this attachment to that stuff, just like you said, because it really gave me a feeling of home and taught me how to create my own haven, which has always been really special and important to me ever since I did it. And I just wanted to talk to you about the energetics of setting up a space. And because I get messages a lot of like, how do you declutter and how do you live simply and why? And I think people sometimes are fascinated when I show pictures of my stuff, because they're always like, how do you just have that out?
Yeah.
And I just find it's such a pillar in my mental space and in my nervous system and all of that. So I'd love to go into that with you and like the energetics of a healthy space.
Totally. I love everything that you just said. And I think I've felt this kind of through following you for so long. And that's what attracted me to you, because we're very similar in that sense. But I didn't know that about you with the roommate situations and things in the past. And I love that you said that, because it's something that I've definitely been dealing with myself the past few years. It's really tough having roommates. And it's like what you said, for me, it wasn't that I didn't feel safe, but it was really hard working in the industry that I do, not being able to take control of the entire atmosphere is so tough. Like being conformed to just a room is really hard. You know, you want your things where you want it, and you want to invest in nice pieces and not have to rely on someone else to take care of it as well when it's yours, you know? I would advise everybody to, if they could be out of a roommate situation, to do it, you know? But I think in terms of you taking your pieces with you too, it's so important. I would much rather have one thing really nice than 100 things. And I think that goes into the way that you're so minimal. Like, yes, that investment or spending on all the RH furniture might feel kind of funny, but you've never bought another console table because you did it once, you know, and it was a good piece and it's come with you for so long. And I think that is something that people should really think about with their furniture. And I know, like, in the social media world, we're kind of getting there with clothes right now, you know, this whole like timeless Sofia Richie kind of aesthetic, like just buy the one nice blouse and the black pants and don't have 100 of them. But I would love for there to be more of that surrounding furniture. And like you said, it doesn't have to be an RH budget, but thrifting and, you know, buying secondhand pieces and things that you can just take with you forever, I think is so huge. And I would love for people to push for more of that. That's how I, you know, do my space and a lot of clients as well. I think having something one of a kind and, you know, good quality is so important. But in terms of, I think, keeping your environment very minimal and clean as well, I think there's no better time than now, because I think back to when I didn't have the pieces that I want. You know, I'd follow someone like you, for example, and be like, I want those things, you know, and you have to work hard to get them. But it's okay if you don't love the things you have to just do it. Like, just declutter the closet, just declutter the sideboard, whatever it is. Like, make yourself feel like you already have the things that you want. And I feel like it's a type of manifestation and the rest will come to you. You know, mm-hmm. I think back to when I, like, I don't know, had a dining table that I hated that I got on Facebook Marketplace. And, like, you know, you see, working in an RH gallery, for example, you see these beautiful centerpieces on tables. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't have the nice table, so I can't have the centerpiece. But in reality, invest in the centerpiece. Do the thing that's going to make you feel like you have the table, for example, and the rest will come. I think it's so important too, energy-wise, in your home. Like, even though things are behind doors, you got to take care of the space. Like, I want to open up my closet and be like, oh my God, I know no one sees this, but it's like perfectly how I want it. And I don't have anything that I don't use. Like, my motto, there's two things, like, one in, one out. I buy something new, something else is leaving. And also, if I haven't touched it in 3 months, I don't need it. There's just no point. Yeah,
I live like that too.
You do? Are you,
yes,
like
that? Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Even like kitchen things, like, I buy nice new Tupperware, old Tupperware is out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the kind of purger that I will get rid of something, and then in 3 months I'll realize that I actually needed it. Like, from the kitchen, I'll be like, shoot, I have to rebuy that. Or because,
really?
I don't hold on to stuff. The only stuff that I have an attachment to is my furniture.
Mm-hmm.
That I haven't purged, but I don't hold on to stuff. And I'm the kind of closet purger where I'll think back and I'll be like, why did I sell that on the RealReal? I wish I had that jacket. Because, right? I purge things constantly because I like minimal. I like clean. It opens up space in my mind. And when you live like that, like, I don't think I was like that as much as a kid. I just remember opening my closet as a kid and I would stuff stuff in the closet.
Yeah.
But then as I became more of an adult, I just became a professional purger. I purge everything constantly because
That's
when I
amazing.
Have less around me, I just have more space in my mind. Like you said, like, I like to open up my closet. I feel like we all wear the same thing over and over until we don't wear it anymore. So why have all this stuff?
Yeah, I think that is amazing. I love what you're saying. And I want to get to that level of purging where I'm like, oh shoot, why did I get rid of that? Because we just hold on to things. And there's a few things that have come to my mind, but what was one of them that I was going to say? Oh, I was thinking, so for example, if we furnish a whole client's home, okay, and we do like an installation day. So we'll go and all the deliveries will show up and we'll place everything and we'll style things and whatnot. One of my favorite parts of that is encouraging people to declutter and moving things. And sometimes I take the matter into my own hands and they're like, oh, I don't even know what's in there. And I'm like, I'm just going to move it because I want you to feel what it would feel like to have nothing. Just take from this pile what you truly need, put it back in the piece of furniture, and the rest you don't need. And I think that's one of my favorite things about what I do. I love making people's spaces better. Just like, obviously visually, but also like you're saying, you mentally have space to create more and to do better in life and in work. And I love doing that. I'll never forget. I think it was like two holidays ago. My stepmom's office was just a mess. And she was like, help me figure this out. And it was just so invigorating to just declutter and make the room feel like a totally different atmosphere. And I just, it's so inspiring to me. I love that you do that. And I think we should push for it more in society.
Yeah, and it gives you more time back, because when you have clutter, you have a lot of clothes, or you don't know where things are, you spend a lot of time finding your thing or looking for something or cleaning. I don't, yeah. That's partly why I keep my place so minimal. I don't want a lot to clean.
That's a great point of view. Yeah.
Yeah. I just keep it really slim. So, obviously you helped me set up my space, which was mm-hmm. so helpful, because it's a very small space mm-hmm. and I feel, yeah, I didn't know what to do with it. And then you kind of gave me a floor plan and I love it. I'm sitting on my couch now way more than I ever used to sit on my couch, because I just feel like energetically feng shui wise, it feels right. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually using every little crevice of my home. Granted, it's a small little home, but it feels very functional. So I love the layout you gave. And how do you usually structure layouts? And what would mm-hmm. you say to anyone listening and the importance of how things are laid out? Because you sent me two layouts for the house and we did the first one and I was like, I think that blocks off energy. Like I don't mm-hmm. feel like I would sit on the couch. And then I did the mm-hmm. second layout and it opened everything up. And I find myself going to sit on the couch unlike I ever did before.
I love
that. So it's just so fascinating how where you place things mm-hmm. really makes such a big difference. Like I'll never place my bed not facing the door. Like I want to see the door when I'm sleeping.
100%. Yeah. I think people don't realize how uninviting it feels, especially in a bedroom when you walk in and you kind of like make the left turn and you're looking at the side of the bed. It's like, whoa, it doesn't feel like you want to step into the space. But yeah, I think furniture, the way you lay it out is so important. I can't help myself when I walk into someone's space and my brain's already churning the way I would change things. And then, you know, I start to get to know someone and they find out what I do and they say, oh, well, how would you improve this? And I'm like, pull the sofa away from the wall and let's move this and let's center that and do all these things. So I kind of have this weird innate thing where it comes to how circulation should be in a room. But in terms of your space, I think that I recognize it was definitely on the smaller side. I was like, if anyone's going to be able to live here, it's going to be Kenzie, because you don't have a lot of things. But
I love it. So I love how small it is so much. I feel like I have so much life.
That's amazing.
I don't have a lot to clean.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. You know? And I love that.
Using my house.
Yeah. Because why have a huge space that you're not using? That's so true. But I think in terms of how to lay things out, I think every space kind of has like an innate focal point, if you will, whether it's a window, a wall where you're going to have a media console with a TV above it, or, you know, a chandelier is even important. What is grounding the space? And I think working off of that is very important. So for your space, for example, I felt like it was so linear that your kitchen island was the beautiful in the kitchen island and the window were the perfect thing to be the center line of the space. So, you know, we kind of have your dining table and the rug and everything going off of that center line and the chandelier meeting centered into the living room area. We're kind of like delineating each room while making our bodies feel, we feel best on like a grid system. If you think about it, we're uncomfortable when we're in like an organic weird space. And so if you can think of your home as kind of like a little grid, what's going to be the center line and how can I mirror things off of that? You're going to have the best feeling in the space, if that makes sense.
That's so cool. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, no. That makes total
sense. So then how would you structure someone's house who had a bunch of different rooms?
I think in each room, we would focus on that kind of center point, center line, and mirror things off of that. I think balance and symmetry are extremely important. You know, not every space is going to be perfectly symmetrical. A lot of rooms are very weird, but making it feel balanced and like it somewhat is symmetrical is most important. So, you know, in the bedroom, we would have the bed, like you said, you'd walk in the door and you would see the bed and have two nightstands and make that space feel very good. And then in the living room, maybe we have two sofas facing each other, you know, mirroring off of the fireplace and the TV, and then so on and so forth in each room. Just emphasizing each space having that kind of, you know, model will definitely give that good feeling.
And then what would you say for the body and for someone's health and someone's well-being, the importance of setting up a space to support them?
Yeah, I think it's so important.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's so important. This is something I have to think about, and I'm kind of like looking over at my living room while I'm thinking about it. But
I want to see your house. I want you to send me pictures of it.
Okay. It's a work in progress because I recently moved, but I'll send you pictures. But I think knowing how someone really uses their space is so important because everyone's going to be kind of different. Like, I think about myself and like my morning routine, and I wake up and I have lemon water and I have a coffee and I sit down on my couch and I journal and I light my Palo Santo and I do that sort of thing. So like, where are those touch points? Like, where am I going to go light the Palo Santo? Where am I going to set down the coffee? How am I going to function in the space? And all of that is so important when it comes to layout. For example, I love that you were not focused on having a TV in your home. And luckily for you, your kind of center line of your living room is that space that's, you know, leaning up against your stairs. If you had a TV, that wouldn't be the case because it wouldn't fit on that wall because of the angle.
Yeah, the TV plug was on the other side of that.
Yes. And I think it would have felt so crammed and limited if we set it up like you would have a TV. So for example, for you and for your body and your energy and feeling best in your space, we took that into consideration and we said, okay, we don't need to use the wall where the plug is. And, you know, we can flip things around and do it in a way that works for Kenzie. And I think that is, you know, every case is different, but it's huge. Your layout, and I think layout more than the actual pieces you have, makes a bigger difference in your life and positivity compared to, you know, having nice furniture.
I love that you said that because my TV is wrapped in my garage because I just didn't use it. And I kept putting it up in every home, but I never used it.
I know. And I'm the same exact way. We actually don't have a TV. It sounds kind of funny, but we have a little projector that's mounted up. And so by day, there's no TV. And if we need it, we turn it on. But I don't watch TV really.
That's so brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I also love that you said to make it functionable, because even you and I did this, but I have a little guest room and I was like, you know, I would rather put a blowout mattress for people when they come because I really want a room to meditate. I want a separate room that I can meditate in, take outfit photos in, journal in. And I just knew that when I wake up, I want that room that I can go in. I don't want to do that meditating and journaling in my bed. I don't want to do it where I'm, you know, working. I really want a space for that. And then we set up that room, and it's been so nice every morning to go into that room. There's nothing on the floor, and I lay my meditation cushion in the middle, and I meditate and I journal. And even if it's a room I use for 20 minutes a day, it's still – that's a special moment for me and a place I can go. And I love that. And something else I really wanted to say, actually, when we were talking about furniture and getting – like manifesting it and making room for it or visioning it, something I did want to say is I – you know, I'm the kind of person that I just won't have something. Like I'll just – instead of stuffing it with something I don't want, I would rather not have it. So I – wouldn't have a dining table until it was the dining table that I want. But I think it just leaves, because for me, I would rather not have something that I don't like in my space than to just not have it. And it kind of goes back to food. It goes back to just filling a void. We don't have to always fill a void. You know, we can leave room for whatever.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. This is like so funny. I don't even have dining chairs right now. I just got my dream dining table, and I don't want to do it a disservice and put a dining chair that I don't like with it. I'm the same way. And I like that you said a void. Like, we don't have to fill the void. Like, everything is energy, and everything we have should feel good, in my opinion. And so why put something there that's temporary when you could just A, save money on getting the one you really want, and B, not clutter your space. I think that's so huge, and I relate to that so much. But also, just going back to your meditation space really quickly, what I loved about that room was that most people who have a second room would just say, oh, okay, I'm going to make a guest room. I'm just going to put a bed in there. And then, you know, most people like cram a desk in the corner, or they're like, oh, I'll do my meditation just like in my extra room, even though there's a bed in there. But back to focusing on the importance of layout for you, that wasn't something that was negotiable. Like, you needed that meditative area and space to go every morning. And in reality, like the TV, how often are you really hosting a guest? You know, that space can turn into that when you need it, but it's more important layout wise to give you what you need to thrive every single day, which is a space to relax and meditate and, you know, have a clean slate every single morning. But yeah, I really love what you said about filling the void, because I'm so the same way. I'd rather have nothing than to have something random there.
100%. And I just want to say, for anyone listening, there's so many ways to be creative, because yes, I mentioned I did that like restoration hardware swoop, but since then, you know, I sold the couch that I got from that swoop because I just didn't really like it. And I've since then sold and gotten a new couch multiple times because I've just gotten to smaller spaces. So I've downsized my couch multiple times. But even when I just moved to Austin, I knew the dining table and chairs that were from that restoration thing, they just weren't gonna fit the space. And I wanted more fabric chairs because the space is so small. So it was like the dining table is gonna be a huge part of the space. So I to feel invited. I want the chairs to be super comfortable. So anyways, all to say, I sold the table and the chairs. And then it's like, you can really get creative. You can sell stuff and then find what you want and make it work. Like, you have to maybe put aside $500 to meet what you sold to get the chairs that you really want, or same with the table. Or, you know, you can always look on Facebook Marketplace or anything used and type in restoration hardware. And sometimes people will be selling really nice restoration hardware stuff. I find a lot of stuff that way.
Totally. I love that you're saying this, because this is just like my model. Like, I'm so like, don't get the thing that's going to clutter the space. Dig on Facebook Marketplace, find something that's a great quality piece that will last you a long time. Like, I totally agree. And it's such a fun little game. Like, sell this, make this money, put it aside. Now I have it for that piece. It's
like Monopoly. I was like, okay, I'll sell the big couch. Then I have the little couch and I'll use that money for the chairs. And then I'll use this money from selling this for the table. And it's when you have a goal of what you really want, I think you can always find a way. And you can always get creative. And yeah, it's just invaluable, I think, to have home pieces that, you know, I really like sitting at my table now. I work from home. I sit a lot. It's so – every day I'm so happy to go sit in my cushiony chairs and not the hard wicker chairs anymore. And it's those little things that go a long way. And I think when you actually put stuff down on paper, it's like, okay, you save $500, but how could you make that $500 and wait 6 weeks instead of just doing the fast thing for immediate pleasure or just to fill the void?
Yeah, this is a whole nother thing. But what you just said, like, I spent the $500, how can I make the $500, is so — I don't know if this is good, but it's so how I am with money. I want to utilize it to make me work harder. Like, if I'm going to spend this, how am I going to make it by this time? And it's just such a good motivator, rather than being scared of spending money. How can I use it to, you know, leverage me in my career? What can I do that's new, or how many more clients can I get? And I think that is just a really cool mindset to have. So I love that you think that way too.
Yeah, something I've been learning about money is when you need to make it, you can make it. And it's really a game, and it takes us to believe that we can do it, because every time I've really needed to make money, I can. And I'm really trying to learn how to just live that way, like every day of, I'm going to make good money today, you know?
That's amazing. But
it's always available to us, I think. We just have to be open to it and work hard, obviously. But when you want to make money, you can make money.
I love how you think. It's a very cool way of thinking. Yeah, I agree with you completely.
What's your sign? I ask everybody pretty much that comes on.
My sign. I would be so curious to hear what you think because I don't know much about astrology, but I'm a Gemini.
Okay. Amazing. People, I'm a Gemini moon.
Oh, are you? Okay. Most people, they were like getting along and then they say, what's your sign? And I say Gemini and they're like, oh, I'm like, but you liked me before I told you.
I know Geminis get a bad rep. My moon is in Gemini and my astrologer always tells me, you know, that I'm really, that comes into play a lot in my life, but Gemini is very genius. So Gemini is the genius. Cause I'll say to my astrologer, I'll be like, if I could change one thing about myself, it would be my Gemini moon, because your moon is ruled by your emotions. Right. And Gemini is two, it's the twins. So I'll be amazing one moment and then the next moment I'll be like, I'm not okay. You're just like,
totally me too. Mood
one day and I'll wake up and it'll be a total different me the next day. Oh, so I was telling him, if I could change one thing about myself, it would be my Gemini moon. And he's like, no, Gemini is genius. That's where you get your genius. And I'm like, okay. Ooh. okay. So now you can embody the genius.
Yeah, I love that little piece of information. But it's so crazy because everyone's like, oh, that's the two-faced sign. And I take it like I'm either really into something or I'm really not. Like, I don't want to do anything that doesn't serve me in a positive way. Like, if I don't have any excitement to do it, I'm not going to do it. But if I love something, like, I am all in. And it's like, you are not going to see me stop until it's done kind of thing.
Yeah. I wonder what you're, do you know your human design?
I have it. I downloaded it because of you. Will it tell me my moon and my rising?
So it's not the same as astrology, but it will tell you what your energy type is. Did you do your birthday?
Yes, I did. Let me look.
No, I'm so curious.
Really? I would love to hear what you say about it because I was so intrigued by this. Okay, my chart. My energy type is what I'm telling you?
Yeah.
Okay, manifesting generator.
Knew it. That's why I asked you. Really? So I knew it the first time we talked. Yeah.
Really? Is that what yours is?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Wow. So what does that mean? Obviously, you know more in depth about it. I'd love to hear what you say about that.
Yeah. So I just knew you were a manifesting generator because of what you just said, that if I'm really into something, I want to do it. If I don't, I don't. And that's very manifesting generator. So the manifesting generator is two signs. Basically, there is a manifester and there's a generator in human design. And so the manifesting generator is both. And the generator, I'm trying to say I don't want to be something else, but I always admire generators because they can just generate. They can wake up and do the same thing every day and grind. And usually Gemini or generators are very successful in their careers and stuff because they can just generate, you know?
Wow.
And that inspires me. Whereas the manifester is more obviously the manifester. And they have a harder time generating, right? Because they're kind of just out there manifesting. Or I shouldn't say harder, but like that could maybe be a pain point of a manifester, but really good at seeing things, you know, really good at making ideas happen. The manifesting generator is both of those together. So it's two, kind of like the Gemini, where it's, okay, we can manifest, we can see we're creative, and we have the generator and the energy to execute it. But since it's two, I find I kind of go back and forth where I'll go through a sprint where I feel very like generator. I'm getting stuff done, da, 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 da. And then I'll go through a sprint where I'm really manifester and I'm just like, I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to do it. A manifesting generator also has a very hard time doing one thing. So they're very multi-passionate. Yep. And that's definitely me. I cannot do one career.
Me too.
And I'm always wanting to create something new. And I'm really learning how to, okay, how can I, with the careers I do have, how can I create new things within that? And I think I'm really getting that down and that's been helping me a lot. Uh-huh. But something that you have to accept as a manifesting generator is that you're not going to fit in a box and you are going to have multiple passions and you are going to have multiple careers if you're aligned. And that's when you'll be the most juicy. Is for me, the more I have going on, the better I'm working.
Me too.
More I'm executing. If things get slow, I get slow. So, you know, that's not really how the world works. So manifesting generators they're kind of known as the world needs them because they're the innovators. They show the world that you can do things a different way. So it's a very special sign. And I think it's an intense sign to have a Gemini placements, because I think Gemini is really like that too.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for explaining all that, because that is so exactly who I am. And I'm in this kind of like phase of life where I'm doing so much, like design, real estate. I'm selling art to a lot of people. I'm just trying new things, like, and it's especially work focused. I want to do as many things as I possibly can. And I truly feel, and maybe this is because I'm a manifesting generator, but I feel like successful people don't do just one thing, just from what I've seen in my upbringing. And so that's just the path that I'm motivated towards. And how cool is it that we can like manifest into the future? Because obviously that's a strong, powerful thing that we know works, but also be generating at the same time. Like, I feel like that is a really cool thing to hear, because I don't know, my younger self hearing that, like I am an anxious person, but I used to be such an anxious person about the future. I mean, anxiety is a future tense thing. You know, what we're feeling is we're anticipating something that's going to happen, and there's just no reason to be worrying about it. But I think that that is so cool that we can look to the future, kind of manifest these things to happen, and then also be like accepting and generating to get there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just what an amazing thing. I love that.
I really relate to that too, about feeling anxious about the future, for sure.
Oh,
as a kid, I really was like that. Yeah. Like, I always wanted it to be the future, but I always felt nervous.
Yeah. I have this problem where I'm always excited for the future. I always want the future.
Yes, and that's how I've been. My mom used to always say, you're not here. You're not here.
Yes. And I've realized recently, like, I feel like so many people our age are like, I don't want to get old. I don't want to like do these things. And I'm like really excited to see who I am at every age of life.
Like, I want to be in my 30s.
Me too. I want to be a mom.
20s are hard. Yeah. I want my babies. I want my man. I want my home. I want, you know, it's a lot to create your career and to create stability and to do all that. I've always wanted that point. And it's just funny how, you know, when you're a kid, I was like, oh, by 24, I'm going to have like 3 kids in the house, you know, and I'm 27. I'm like, oh, shoot.
Yeah. And it's just, it's crazy. It kind of relates for me to this podcast, because I can't wait, like you said, for the real, real stabilization point in our careers and in our lives. And I'm just like itching for that. But I know I can't get there unless I focus on the everyday of where we are now. But it's so funny, because what we perceive as success is just always ever changing. And like me 3-4 years ago would be like, oh, I'm successful if I got an opportunity to talk to somebody like you and to do this. And I just can't believe that you've given me this opportunity, and I had the opportunity to work with you on your space. It was just such a pleasure. And now it's like, I'm like, okay, more. What else can I do? What else can we do? Like, what's the next thing, you know? Just always ever changing and growing.
I love that. I really do think that things that we put out there really do happen. And so often we don't take time to pause and really acknowledge that they're happening, because I'm the same way. I'm always on the next thing. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to sit and just, you know, take in, hey, this was a big milestone, you know, and just really acknowledge that. So yeah. I love that you just did that. It's a perfect way to wrap this episode up.
I know. How amazing. I feel like we have so many similarities. I've loved this opportunity getting to talk to you.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And thank you for your help with my space. It truly, I mean, I just saw your name on Instagram and I clicked your thing. And we have the same style. I could tell. I could tell the Palo Santo on the thing. And I was feeling a little overwhelmed, because I had never been in a space that was basically one room and a kitchen.
Yeah. No.
I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it really helped me.
I'm so happy I could help you. And I can't wait to do the next one. I'm just going to say that, because I know you'll be again on another move one day. But
oh, yes. That's going to be like the big home with the mans and the – that's going to be the restoration hardware home from the
catalog. Well, enjoy the space you have, because it's beautiful. And like I said, it was just so incredible. And I learned so many things working with you. So
really?
Of course I did. I mean, I just think you carry yourself in such a beautiful way. And thinking about how you function in your space was something very exciting for me, you know, getting to know you. And it goes back to like what I said, like, you know, you meet someone and you know what size bed they have. So kind of understanding from social media how you function every day was really cool to put into action, and like the layout of your furniture and whatnot. So I really loved it.
Well, for anyone listening who may want your assistance, is this something you're open to?
Of course. Yeah. I'm always eager for new clients and to meet people and help in any capacity that I can.
Okay. We'll put all your information, maybe your email.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. And your Instagram.
Amazing.
Thank you for coming
on. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow along on social media at Kenzie Burke, and for all things nutritional healing and body at Body Forward. And if you're looking for versatile clothing that will help you transcend the seasons as undone as it is refined, at Shop Brulee. Everything is linked in the show notes, and I'll see you on the next episode.